think I've worn this about as long as I can. Much better. Gary, to reflect what Gary said during the announcements, no, I'm not being regretful about this weather at all. I'm just trying to, you know, cope with it. When we led off our services for this church year back in the fall, some of you may remember, I took a line from an old Grateful Dead song as my tone setter for the year. The song was Ripple by Robert Hunter and Jerry Garcia. And the line was, "There is a road, no simple highway." I saw those seven words as representing a choice, both about how we live our individual lives and how we live out our calling here as a liberal religious community. The simple highway is the simple and prescribed route. The road is the one you choose for yourself. Many of us came to this community because the prescribed highway, when it came to having a religious and spiritual path, wasn't entirely satisfactory. We come here in covenant with others then to make our own road. And when I look back over this year at our shared communal life, I look at the ways that we as a congregation have traveled together, and I'm aware that it's been much more of a road than it's been a simple highway. I mean that as a positive statement. We've already had a very full and rich service this morning, so by means of a rather abbreviated sermon, I'm going to point to what I feel were some of the significant markers along the road that we have traveled these past 9 to 10 months. And in looking over that road, I came up with the title I decided to go for today, not the one that was in the newsletter or I think in the paper. I decided to call this a pat on the back and a kick in the pants. And even though I am supposedly a professional, I will not attempt to do that while standing here. You'll get the idea anyway. I think we should be patted on the back for continuing to spread our gospel. I use the word gospel in its most literal sense here. It means good news. And our good news is that there are religious communities where meaning and hope and spiritual depth can be found without being tied to a prescribed dogma. Our good news is that we are striving to be one such congregation. We kept our doors open and our welcome mat out this year. We welcomed 25 new members into our midst, many of whom are already playing an active role in our congregational life. I think both our membership and our public relations committee should get a pat on the back for that, putting the word out about who we are and what's happening here and seeing that our doors are open and that we are welcoming. We thank Barbara Rios a few minutes earlier for her 10 years as membership coordinator. As I say, she gets a special pat in that area. I'm sure we look forward to having Sherry Woolsey carry on in this role. And I want to give a pat this morning. We'll be recognizing the whole RE program next Sunday, but I want to say something about the RE committee and Chris Parker while I'm on the subject of making our good news real, specifically in terms of the ropes class that we had this year. But when I think about markers of this past year, I think that was a wonderful service we had just a couple of weeks ago when our 12 and 13-year-olds completed their rites of passage experience class they've been engaged in throughout the year, working with their adult mentors and their class leaders, Ginger Hedges and Craig Lang. We had 16 of them, as you recall, presented their credo or affirmation statements to the congregation here on that Sunday after having a special ceremony that we did for them the night before. In so doing, they embark on their own road of discovery. They demonstrated, I think, in being here on that morning, what the liberal religious ideal itself is, which is that in the sharing of lives and in the sharing of experiences, one's own life stance, or one's religious and spiritual perspective begins to emerge and then builds over time. And I've always seen our role here to provide the building blocks, both in our church school classes and in our adult religious education opportunities as well. We provide the building blocks for ways of being religious, and then we trust our members, both the young ones and the not so young ones, to assemble those blocks and fit them to their lives, and then move on with their lives from there. That's what the ropes class really was all about, and it was a microcosm, I think, of what we try to do as a wider community. Another mark on the road Sort of in this same vein was when we celebrated Lee Page's ordination into the Unitarian Universalist ministry. You know, Lee's David's involvement went back here well before my ministry began, and to see her where her own road brought her was truly a joy on that morning. Well, on that same weekend as the Rogue Service, a number of people here in this sanctuary, among our very good lay leaders, attended a workshop led by a woman named Kathy Teplitz. She was coming from the North Andover Church in Massachusetts. The workshop was on generating and maintaining growth in religious communities like ours. And Kathy stressed the need of having a wide range of what she called entry points, or side entrances, I believe she called them, where people can find one another and find themselves on a deeper level, in addition to the gatherings of the whole community itself, which we do here on our Sunday mornings. So I want to offer a pat on the back today to all of those who keep so many of our side entrances open. I'm sure I'm not going to name them all. I probably didn't remember them all as I went to prepare this, but I'm thinking about our covenant group leaders, men's group leaders, women's spirituality group leaders, book discussion leaders, circle dinner organizers, conversations with God group leaders, meditation group leaders, yoga groups, twilight services, UU Seder leaders. I know I'm only getting the high points, but those are what we mean by entryways, ways of coming into this congregation where you meet people in smaller settings. And so many of you make it possible and meaningful for people to come apart from the hate and from the demands in our life. And you make places where we can stop and think and reflect and meditate and grow. I greatly appreciate the ways in which so many of you have made those side entrances open and inviting. And I think you should take a pat on the back. Take a pat on the back as well, those of you who made our Simple Gifts Coffee House part of the national music scene. And those of you who keep making our service auctions bigger and more successful each year. Every year we have at the end of each service auction, I think, gee whiz, there's no further we can possibly go with this. This has gotten as good as it can get and as successful as it can get. And the next year I'm always proven wrong. So thank people very, very much for that. Thank all of you who helped us have a lot of fun. Because that's part of a lot of what goes on around here as well. Thanks to all of you, who in a myriad of ways tend to the growth and the nurture and the well-being of this community. And I know I've only hit the high points here. And it wasn't just this community that so many of you attended to. There's that larger world beyond our doors, maybe just a few blocks away or a world away, in which we seek to extend our principles and our values. As last summer moved into fall, I know a lot of you worked hard to register voters in our area in order to get them to participate in the political process. That's in accordance with one of our seven UU principles that says we covenant to affirm and promote the use of the democratic process in our society. However you may have felt about the outcome of last November's election, many of you aren't pats on the back for bringing more people into that process, and that's important. That will be important over the long run. Many of you aren't pats on the back for your involvement in such organizations as the Granite State Organizing Project, the newly formed branch of the NAACP, organizations that seek to enhance and build on the quality of life of all of our citizens. I know a number of you have been involved in that, and thank you for it. For to care about this gathered community here is to also care about the well-being of the community beyond us. As I said, the community a few blocks away and the community a world away. Well, maybe I should leave a little bit of room for the kick in the pants that I promised, although I'm going to lead into it with a few more kudos. I'm going to ask those of you who were here, if you can think back to about this time 2 years ago to our annual meeting. That was not a very happy time. Those of you who were here will remember. In order to have a balanced budget that we could put before you and allow us to operate for another year, we had to take some very painful measures, which included eliminating practically all of the community outreach donations and contributions that we were making through a formula that we had then tied to our pledge drive. The details of that meeting don't need to be rehashed here, but in very broad strokes, what got us into that bind over the years leading up to it was an over-reliance in our invested funds and our not being as forthright as we needed to be about the need for members to support us with their annual pledges. Well, some very good things have happened since then. Beginning in November of 2004, following Michael Doral's visit and consultation with us to try to help us get us out of the kind of stuck place that we were in, we began our outreach collections to benefit organizations in this community who are seeking to address particular and pressing human needs and efforts within our wider UU movement who are seeking to enhance that movement as well, as you heard already this morning. On top of all that, this past year, an incredibly dedicated task force of members from this congregation sought to raise additional funds for the National Dental Connection in order to provide dental care for children here in our French Hill neighborhood who could not otherwise afford it and didn't have any kind of insurance coverage. We dedicated 20% of our auction income to community outreach as well over the past couple of years. Now, these are very rough numbers, but if you take over these past 2 years, since we had that very difficult annual meeting, if you look at what's happened since then, you total up our outreach collections, our service auction donations, and the money raised with Dental Connection, we have put a good $55,000 into good, worthy, and necessary causes in our greater national community, and that's after we were at virtually zero 2 years ago. And while we were doing that, we've also managed to raise our pledge base by close to $50,000 as well in that same time. I wasn't really sure if I believed Michael Doral 2 years ago when he said that generosity begets generosity, but it's a little hard to argue with him now. And in giving a nod to Mr. Doral, I also have to profusely thank Steve Ledoux, Linda Donaldson-Weedy, and all who worked with our last two pledge drives in making them so successful. Now here's a kick in the pants. I hadn't forgotten. You need to hang with me for just a bit longer with some numbers again. I'm painting again very, very broad strokes. You can get the details if you come to the annual meeting a week from Thursday. But admittedly, very broad strokes, the amount that we've managed to raise our pledge base by, to which I just spoke, over the past couple of years, roughly, corresponds to what we had decreased our reliance on from our investment funds by. We are, that is to say, more or less, holding even. And we need to keep dropping that invested funds reliance even more over the next several years in order to get ourselves to a more fiscally healthy and solid place overall. Which is to say, we're going to have to keep kicking ourselves in the pants when pledge time rolls around, even as we pat ourselves on the back for getting us as far as we have. I believe that we are a very, very, in many respects, not just financially, but in other ways, I think we're a very, very healthy congregation. We're a very healthy religious community. Of course, as you know, in order to maintain health, you can't get lackadaisical. You got to keep exercising. You got to keep eating the right kinds of foods, all that sort of business. So we need to keep maintaining our health. That's the kick of the pants part. There's plenty for me to say on this subject. There's nothing for me to say on this subject today. As I said, I hope you'll attend our annual meeting this Thursday, and we'll look at this matter in some more detail. So I'm going to move to a more personal note on which I'm going to end this morning and say that I will continue to keep kicking myself along, flawed human being that I am, to build on the ministry that it has been my privilege to share with this congregation over the past 17 years. There's still a road out there, with hurdles to clear, new lessons to be learned, new chances to be taken. I'm looking forward to them. We're changing our style of governance next year when it comes to how our executive board and church staff will operate, and you'll hear more about that at our annual meeting as well, but that's another different kind of a turn in the road that we'll be taking. And I will continue to respond as best I can to the challenges of ministry, personal, congregational, institutional, all the ways in which those challenges come by, knowing that this is a ministry that I share with a very wonderful bunch of people. And I have to say, passage of time just continues to baffle me. I'm sure I'm not the only one in that respect, having had a number of conversations about it, but it really hardly seems at all like it was 10 years ago this summer that a number of you sprung what turned out to be a rather delightful surprise on me, with a little help from my wife, Michelle, as well. She's in New York this morning, so I can kind of talk out of school on this. She got together and swung a very delightful surprise on me under the pretext of being a start the church year off potluck. It turned out to be a a celebration of my 50th birthday over here in the dining room. I can't believe that that was 10 years ago. Just so you'll know, as the big 6-0 approaches this summer, I'll be hiding out with my family in southern West Virginia. So, as he lovingly said, don't even think about it. Really, it's been a wonderful congregation. You do many wonderful things, both within these walls and well beyond them. So I don't think we need the simple highway, as long as we have a very rich and meaningful and challenging road that remains before us. Thanks to a good year, I trust we're going to have a few more good ones as well. Let's sing together our closing hymn. It's number 1, May Nothing Evil Cross This Door.